Joined.
Allen.
Joined.
Bo Brindler.
Hello, Bo.
Joined.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I was told I was the second, but doesn't seem to be anyone else.
Yeah, it told me I was the third. I noticed there's a little question and answer thing going on between Danny and Wendy on the meeting page, but actually looking at that, it would have been last night. So,
on the meeting page? Where do you see this? What meeting page?
The meeting page, let's see, it's, well, it's the one that, you know, that they've set up a page that's sort of like the one that they send out that announces every meeting or conference call or whatever. There's one for this meeting.
Oh, I didn't
see
that.
An
Adobe one?
No, not an Adobe one. One off the website. So it's st.icann.org/alac/info.
Holy Reich.
Joined.
index.cgi.
What's it? st.alac.icann.
st.icann.org /alac.
Okay.
/index.cgi ? Board.
Nick.
Joined.
Hello.
Hello.
Then it's board _
Adigo operator.
Lead.
Joined.
_ candidates. _ presentation.
Cheryl.
Joined.
Cheryl. Cheryl here.
And that didn't work because there were probably capitals.
Are you Cheryl?
I see
no
it.
Capitals. No capitals.
No, okay, I see the link now. I must have typed something wrong. I don't know what.
Robert Guerra.
Joined.
I get the same thing as... I get no Skype chat. No, get no chat typing here.
Hello?
Hello.
Not at the bottom?
No.
Oh, okay.
Robert. Oh, yeah. Okay, sorry.
I can hear you just fine.
Matthias?
Who can you hear just fine?
Somebody Skype's working. I can hear it in the background.
Sorry?
Somebody's Skype is working. I can hear it in the background.
That was me, and it was Skype coming up.
Like, I'll even change my status just so you know I really am here. So who have we got so far? Alan,
Bo, I heard Robert
King, French translator, French interpreter on English.
Joined.
And I'm here.
Nick, I'm not receiving any mails through HovTech at the moment, and probably won't for a couple of days. So can anything important be sent or resent in my Google address, please?
Joined.
My Gmail?
Yes.
Thank you. And I haven't received anything from you. Basically, since our last conversation.
Well, the world's come to an end.
Well, I know.
You heard about that?
Damn. Is that what I've missed? Maybe that's why my nose's not working.
That happened at the Republican convention in the United States last night. The world ended.
Oh, well, there you go. That explains it as well.
Does that mean they all went home and gave up?
No, just the opposite, probably.
That never happens.
No, I know.
They never give up.
So you got mail yesterday from me, Cheryl. You just didn't get it today.
I didn't get all mail yesterday. I've had things disappearing for a couple of days, and now I've got nothing.
Joined.
So, Cheryl, you can get my email today.
I did spend, you know, an hour and 22 minutes on hold before I left a callback request. So it's not that I'm not trying to fix the problem.
You know, it must be something to do with that .au thing you use, you know.
Oh,
careful.
It's a real crummy ccTLD. They don't know how to manage anything. They're never used as an example of good practices. What do you expect?
It's a model. Yeah,
well,
you know.
Back in your box. You've got Holly on the call as well. We'll get very tasty.
Yeah, I'm just wondering who your friends are. Should I hang up now?
If you knew me at all, that means I have a good friend.
I thought it was with the reptiles eating the email.
I think we know who to stop at the immigration desk now.
I make it a point never to fly to the other end of the world, so, you know, I'm safe.
Well, look, Holly made it, and we kept her.
Well, not only did you keep her, she wouldn't go back.
Oh, no, hang on. You go back for holidays?
I do go back for holidays. Guess what I do, though? I get back in a plane and come back here, except when it's winter. I should be back there.
Dear.
Mind you, winter here is about 50 degrees, folks, for those who still think in Fahrenheit.
I was going to say, that doesn't sound very nice to me, but in Fahrenheit it's a little different.
Yeah, you've got two
I speak in Celsius now, but, you know, I thought I'd translate. For me,
yeah.
It's like, we talk about 10 degrees when it's really cold.
And that is Celsius.
That is Celsius. And that's become very cold for me.
I've learned to use Celsius for temperature, for weather, but I still measure degree of cookedness of things with Fahrenheit.
I don't think that will ever change. Well, so 10 degrees means something to you as well.
Oh, indeed.
If I say it's 10 degrees, then you have a feeling for how not cold it is.
Oh.
Depends which time of the year it is.
That's winter here, mate. That's winter.
I understand.
Yes, and Holly has a terribly tough time. She looks out her dining room over part of Sydney Harbour, so she's badly appointed as well as suffering with the weather.
Well, somebody's got to check on what it's like outside.
Who else are we expecting?
The whole ALAC?
We've got, there are two people on the Spanish channel and nobody on the French so far.
Okay. We have apologies from Vanda. Are you aware of any other apologies, Nick?
I think Carlos is still on holiday.
Ah, okay. Well, we'll register an apology to him. Any of the other RALO people joining us? Any other ALSs?
I haven't heard anything. We don't have Wendy.
Yes, we do have Wendy.
Oh, you are? Oh, I don't see you on
there. Yeah, I thought I heard Wendy join.
I thought I heard her.
I am here.
Ah, good. I'm sure I heard you join us, Wendy. However, I could have been wrong.
Good morning.
Right. Well, I think it's appropriate that we begin. Now, before I lost connectivity to email, I did note that Nick had sent out a link to some biography material. Would either of you care to speak to that, or did you prepare something to talk to us about this evening? I know I've got a couple of questions in from people. I've got questions from Vanda.
I'm going to excuse you. I need to check my other line.
Okay. All right, then. So I'm happy to have this relatively informally run, but it is a vital role. Board liaison is a vital role and one of increasing importance. and it's an opportunity for the RALOs and the ALS people, and I'd like to note that the executive from the Internet Society of Australia, as an ALS, is here tonight, as she was at the last interview. Thank you.
Oh, yes.
Come quite
I'm good at this.
At doing this, because I think it's very important that that the ALSs have a concept of who is representing their best interests as well. So, if perhaps things, I know I've got Bo, and I'm not sure that Wendy's back from checking her other line. Bo, would you care to make a couple of basic statements? Otherwise, I suspect that you might be asked the same question three times.
sure, yeah, that's no problem.
Just, can I just remind everyone that there is interpretation and there are people on the Spanish channel already, so just make sure you say your name.
Say who you are when you're speaking.
Yeah. And
sure.
Speak slowly so that they translate.
Is there, excuse me, point of order, is there a Skype chat for this group?
If there is, I'm not on it.
Neither am I.
Okay.
So, yeah, sure. I had sent in a couple of documents. One is a resume, which is up on the meeting page, and then there's another document that's actually called Statement of Interest, but doesn't really read like one. So I would just call... you know, folks' attention to the section on the bottom of that. Just very briefly, I just put down some things that I've been involved in working on in the year or so that I've been involved with the ALEC. And specifically, I think folks are familiar with some of the work that we've been doing in the RAA and also on the JPA. I'd like to kind of emphasize the importance, I think, of... the organization I work for is one of the largest consumer organizations in the world, and it has members, we call them members, but they also amount to subscribers, 7 million of them in the U.S. and Canada, and we've also been very active, and I personally have also been very active in other countries trying to spread our, you know, message of improvement of web credibility and trying to engage in consumer protection activities all around the world. So I know that a lot of people have a criticism of, and it's a valid criticism, that folks from the U.S. tend to be focused only on the U.S., but our organization and my work has been very very global, and I've had some great gratification and success with that, which would be one of the things I would hope to bring for working for the ALEC. In this capacity of liaison. And in the course of doing that, I have had to work with and negotiate with a lot of different kinds of people, from university professors to government people to CEOs and whatnot. So I do have quite a bit of experience negotiating in difficult situations, which I think is helpful. I don't mean to imply that the role of ALEC liaison is a difficult one, but... I don't really back down from a fight easily, and I don't have any problems being either friendly or nice or hard when necessary. So I think that this is a critical time for the ALEC. It's changed dramatically in the year that I've been involved with it, and it's changed definitely for the better. And I think that there are a lot of things that we need to do to continue emphasizing the consumer voice and the user voice in the way that ICANN does business. So I don't want to take too much time. I'll stop there. But at the very end of the at the very end of the document, I was referring to the principles that I sort of try to bring to everything I do in the work that I've been doing for ICANN and ALEC, or for ALEC, is transparency, registrar compliance, and public and consumer education.
Thank you, Bo.
Sure.
Wendy, I assume you're back now?
Yeah, thanks.
Excellent. The same opportunity, and I didn't time that, Bo, but I suspect Wendy will be able to fill in pretty much the exact same time.
Okay, this is just an introduction. I think that what you have here is a choice of how you see ICANN and how you see the individual user of the Internet's role in relation to ICANN. I make no secret that I fundamentally do not trust the conglomeration that is ICANN, and I think that we need to do a lot to rein it in, to keep it from getting too large and going over the line in what it restricts of the way individuals can use the Internet, what it restricts in the way of competition to provide services to individuals using the Internet, and what it restricts in the way of innovation on the Internet. It works well as a lightweight forum for collaboration. It works poorly when it tries to get into heavy-handed policy, detailed policy making. And so while I appreciate and greatly respect Bo's interests in consumer protection, I think there are terrific organizations like Consumers Union working on consumer protection, and I fundamentally do not think that it is ICANN's role to go out and be a regulator in the various different jurisdictions in which it works, each of which will have different restrictions that its regulators want to place. And at the end of the day, if that's the course we take, I think we wind up with a lowest common denominator internet on which everything is forbidden and nothing is permitted, rather than the lightweight, decentralized, coordinated network of networks where we are still free to attach our own devices and assign our own names and work to improve the technology. That's the position that I encourage individuals getting involved to help advocate. And while I, as liaison, convey the positions of at-large when at-large communicates them, I think my thinking about ICANN and the advice that I give to at-large when I work in these discussions is to constrain ICANN's role and to keep it working within that space of possibility for the end user. I think you've had a year working with me as liaison. I hope I have been transparent about the work that's been going on and reported out the discussions and considerations at the board level and reported in when given to me the considerations from at large. I think the most surprising thing to me about this year in the position is that the board decides far less than we think from the outside it does. Most of the action is at other places in the organization, the GNSO and the individual contracted parties do far more to shape what ICANN does than its board. My encouragement going forward would be to work even more closely with other bodies and other liaisons and representatives in other parts of the organization than focusing on the board, because even the board has been trying to see itself as a less day-to-day manager of the organization and more as overseer of decisions that others have made and policies that others have developed.
Carlton, Samuels.
Joined.
Welcome, Carlton. We're just doing introductions and a little personal promo piece from both Bo and Wendy, and Wendy's heading towards the conclusion of hers.
Hi, hi, Cheryl. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Or is it afternoon for you?
Carlton.
Hey, how are you doing?
Go ahead, Wendy.
So I'll break off there and invite to continue with the discussion and questions that people may have.
Thank you for that. I'd like to ask for particular questions. Anyone on Skype, of course, should wave their hand frantically. Thank you, Robert. I note you, although I note you're not in the board liaison presentation tonight. Seeing as you're the first person to wave at me virtually.
I waved earlier, I'm afraid.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alan. You did. My error. I had something in front of you. It's Alan.
Cheryl, what do I have to do to wave?
Oh, just, all right, you're next after Robert, Holly. You should be on Skype.
So sorry.
Go ahead, Alan.
Okay, I'll start with one question and ask to be back in the queue for others after other people have had a chance. This is aimed at both Bo and Wendy with particular examples in the other. Both of you have very strong opinions on some things. Those opinions do not necessarily always coincide with the unanimous view or even the complete view of, relatively complete view of the ALAC. How do you handle the situation where you are asked to present a view which is different from one you espouse? Now, in Bo's case, you just had a recent exchange with Ross Rader saying, you'd find it rather strange if you were, and I'll put it in the context we're talking about here, if you're paid by a consumer organization and espousing a view in the board that is exactly 180 degrees away from what your official position is. And the question is not only how can you do it with a straight face, but can you do it with any conviction when it's well known that that's not what you believe? And the question applies to Wendy as well, obviously.
Whoever
jumps in first gets it first. I heard your voice. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's an excellent question. I mean, I think there's two facets to it. One is I'm aware or very aware that the, you know, number one role of the liaison position would be to liaise. In other words, make sure that, you know, communication is the number one priority and not insert personal views. I think, though, I mean, I certainly wouldn't have any trouble putting on a hat that says ALAC on it, but I think by its nature, the ALAC was supposed to be, quote-unquote, I don't want to go as far as to say a consumer advocacy group within ICANN, but certainly we were recruited by ICANN to participate in ALAC, so there's a certain part of what the ALAC is supposed to do that represents the user voice in the community, so I would like to hope that most of the decisions or most of the points of view that ALAC comes up with would have consumer protection and user protection well considered.
If I can jump in, but the question had a premise in it. And as an example, you and Wendy have just disagreed on certain points. Both of you take very different positions with regard to who is. There are issues where consumer issues are not necessarily the ones that all user people relate to. So the question has a premise. Assuming that you are diametrically opposed to the position that has been put forward, how do you handle it?
By the ALAC.
No, I think you have to, you know, clamp the hat on tighter and do what your job is, which is to represent the position that the ALAC has put forward.
And how do you do that with conviction, convincing the other people on the board who know that that's not what you feel at all? And you argued against it in a similar discussion when it wasn't an official ALAC position.
Well, I think you have to be, I think there are steps that you can take to be convincing. I think you sort of have to say, you know, I'm here representing ALAC, and that's what I'm here to do, and that is what, anything that, please put aside any other affiliations you may think I might have, because this position represents the group of people who named me to be their liaison. So I don't necessarily see that as a difficult thing. I mean, I see that kind of happening in all sorts of circumstances in all kinds of political bodies, so...
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Bo. Wendy, go ahead.
I think that's the essence of advocacy is working to espouse the positions of a client or principal of whom you're the agent. And I think issues have come up in this past year where I'm not aligned with all of the positions expressed, and I see it as my role to bring as many of those positions with the weights that they come from at large to the board.
And
thank you. Alan, I assume you do have a follow-up question. I'll put you back in the queue. Robert, go ahead.
Yeah, I do. Alan, you took my first question, so thank you so much for doing that.
I'm going to hit on it again, or you could do
it
right now.
I mean, I think it's just, I just want to emphasize, I think it's, you know, as a representative to a structure like the board, I think that, you know, when views differ in terms of how to handle it. So, I mean, I thank for that coming up. The second thing, kind of a two-part question, it's, first of all, you know, there's different people on the board that I've spoken to over the last, you know, year or 2 years have told me that the board meetings, the discussions take a lot of time. And so I'm just curious to get feedback from the candidates as to what their understanding of the percentage of the time that the board discussions take, and is that something they can fit in and is compatible with their current position? My fear being that if most individuals have full-time jobs, and that's a good thing, but if you know, the board takes up a quarter or half of your time, that might scale back how much time you can spend with work. So in terms of, you know, how you would deal with that. And so that's one. And number two, also on the understanding point, is the board not only has to deal with AILAC, the representative from AILAC also has to deal with discussions of a policy nature, of a technical security nature, and, you know, really kind of organizational nature as well. And so I'd really like to know what your experience, skills, or knowledge of are in both technical items as well as technology policy issues as well. Because that, you know, so, you know, I'd be keen to get your answers to this two-part question. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, and I will use my chair's discretion to switch the speaking order and have Wendy respond those 2 points.
Okay. Thank you. I think on your first question of the time required, there's a huge volume of online, primarily email conversation. There's a huge amount of documentation dumped into our mailboxes, and it does take time to read it and to read it carefully enough to participate in the discussions. I hate to say that having served a year is an advantage, but knowing the participants for that period of time and having that level of access to and review of the documents, it took a long time to get ramped up into all of the pieces, but I think that it becomes more manageable with time, and I think it also becomes more effective to manage the relationships with other individuals on the board over time. And so I think it's less the particular face-to-face or phone-to-phone conversations. Those are once a month and relatively manageable, but keeping on top of all of the email and interim communications takes a significant chunk of time. I think my teaching schedule has worked fairly well to accommodate. And remind me with one word what your the second phrase of the question was.
Technical, policy, corporate.
So there, as many of you know, my previous experience was working as a civil liberties attorney with Electronic Frontier Foundation, defending online expression, and in my off time. I run Linux on all of my machines now and administer my own mail server and web server, in part as a sort of eat my own dog food sort of method of testing. I think it's important, even when there are cloud services that could do some of these jobs for us, to know how the technology works underneath and to have a sense of how easy or hard it is. And one of my great excitements about the Internet is that it is still a place where any individual can hook up a peer and can be part of the Internet and offer sites and offer communication and exchange communication without an awful lot of intermediation. And so one of my strong personal interests are that individuals be able to do that with a degree of freedom and privacy to take advantage of those communications.
Thank you, Wendy. Beau?
Well, the excuse me, the time question is probably the most salient one for me in this circumstance. I do have a full-time job, and I have a family that I do really like to spend time with. So I would have to, you know, if chosen by you to be the liaison, I would have to certainly work very hard to work smart. I think in most circumstances, my employer has been relatively willing to give me space for the work that I've done so far with ALAC, because they see its importance and you know, they see the reflection of it in some of the progress that has been made this year. So you know, Wendy certainly is the expert on the amount of time that has to be spent for this position, so I don't really have much more perspective than that. To the other question, I mean, in a sense, my technical experience is very hands-on. I've launched probably more than a dozen websites over the course of 10 or 15 years, several of them having been with major media organizations in the United States, and I've been involved in every capacity from going out and getting domain names to plugging machines in and things like that. So my experience has been very ground up. In terms of technology policy, I've had a lot of experience in that dating back 10 years. I've testified before Congress to address issues with to address technology issues with online travel sites, search engines, and some other kinds of things. I mean, I could go into that in some detail, but it's kind of a long list for technology
Joined.
Policy. So I would certainly be happy to talk more about that offline and not hold up this discussion too long. But in terms of, you know, confidence in being able to function in environments where there's operations and technology, I mean, in my current role, I administer four different sites, but not only that, also the direction and the content of them and what they represent. And I would certainly invite everyone to take a look at the URLs that I put on the document I referred to earlier, where you can sort of get an idea of some of these things that I've been involved in.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Holly?
Yeah, a question to both of you. There's just been, not that long ago, a report, a three-year review of the whole kind of ALAC structure, where a number of recommendations were made and directions were made. I think my assumption is that you both will have read it, and my question is what you both think of the direction that was put forward by that report.
I'll be random, and I'm going to ask Wendy to respond first, then Beau.
Thanks. As I've said online and in the public consultations, I strongly disagree with the review done by the consultants. I think they failed to listen to a lot of the people who were speaking to them, failed to take into account a lot of the options and alternatives to which the current ALAC structure responds. And as I've said, I do not still, despite progress that's being made, believe that the current at-large advisory committee clustering of structures upon structures is an effective way to represent at-large interests. I think there is more potential for effect in reforms like those going on at the GNSO, where individuals are being, or the interest of individual internet users, including but not limited to registrants, is being included as part of the non-contracting stakeholder house at the GNSO Council. I think that has a more direct voice in policy development than we've ever been able to get as at-large advisory committee. And I think the report's failure to look at those actual opportunities for impact of the at-large public makes it fairly useless. I think their rejection of a voting position on the board is without very much consideration. It was unwise. I've said I would not want the voting position on the board, so it's not a self-interested statement I'm making here. I don't want a fiduciary duty to this organization as a whole, but I don't think that relegating at large to non-voting liaison status recognizes properly the effect of ICANN decisions on the at-large internet using public.
Could I just follow up, Cheryl? Are you? I would like clarification of where you think ALAC, Wendy, where you think ALAC sits. And one of the proposals was about GSNO.
GNSO.
Is that what you're talking about?
I have said that I think that the most effective way to represent voices of individual internet users is through a system of global at-large elections. I recognize that not everyone thinks that that is the best position, and I would like to hear more debate about the contrast between that and what ALAC currently is. But I thought that failure to include that discussion in the review sort of left alternatives off the table and so failed to justify the alternative it chose.
Thank you. Beau?
I think the ALAC review did note a couple of important things in its favor. One was the kind of the representation issue of the of the Asian participation in ALAC, so I think the suggestion to add to balance that out was good. I think that a lot of people spent a lot of time with the consultants, both online and offline, as I did in India, and then with emails and whatnot. And I think I had the same experience a lot of others did. They were surprised to see the review because they felt like all the time that they had spent bringing up sort of creative solutions to some of ALAC's problems didn't appear to be at all reflected in the document. So I think that, Wendy and I actually talked about a lot of this as it was happening, and I think a lot of what she said about it I agree with, in the sense that my big push in talking to the consultants was that I believe that the ALAC should have a vote or that there should be... if we look beyond structures, that there's an imbalance between all of those who are making a great deal of money off registrations and then everyone else, and that whether it would be in the GNSO or whether it would be a solution or whether the solution would be combining the NCUC with ALAC in some way to take advantage of their actual votes or whatever, my overarching concern was that there be some kind of actual representation for users at the board level, and that was summarily ignored. I only saw a couple of references to it in passing in the document. So after that whole process that really kind of became my issue, is that I don't think, I think in order for ICANN itself to be considered legitimate, there's got to be a more simple way of showing the user community how they fit in. And if you can't show user community some sort of quasi-democratic system where they get, you know, where their weight carries more than just advice, then I don't think the system works.
Thank you. I now have Antonio, who's on the Spanish channel, so the translator will be posing his question. Go ahead, Antonio. Can we have Antonio's question via the Spanish channel?
I'm trying to communicate with the Spanish channel. Hold on a second.
Thank you. Alan, have you got a relatively short response question? Because you did say you wanted to come back in a couple of times.
I'm not sure how short it is, but I'll ask it.
Voy a hacer una pregunta.
Okay. Hold that thought, Alan. Go ahead, Spanish channel, Antonio. Go ahead.
Antonio, si tiene la pregunta. He's not responding.
All right, then. Well, when someone lets me know he's ready to ask a question.
Espere un momentico, espere. I got him. Hold on a second, please.
Okay. Hang on.
I wanted to ask Wendy specifically, since she touched the topic about the individual users, in terms of participation that they could have in the future in the in ICANN scenarios, in the ICANN stage.
Thank you, Antonio. Wendy, do you
Gracias,
need
Antonio.
Clarification, or are you right with that?
I think if the question is how can or should individuals participate in ICANN policymaking processes, I think it's absurd to expect that most individual Internet users will know what ICANN is, never mind have the time that it takes to participate deeply in conversations about ICANN. I think it is terrific that there are some who do, but I think that there are not nearly enough of those people to sustain the burdens of a full participatory representation. And that's why I think that there are two pieces to what ICANN should instead be doing with individuals. It should be allowing them to aggregate their very small interests, and the best mechanism we know of for doing that is by voting, where individuals can delegate their interests to somebody else to learn the details and to be deeply involved. So an individual who says, my primary interest is privacy, can delegate by voting to someone who will focus on that, and an individual who says, my primary interest is anti-fraud, can delegate by voting to somebody who will focus on that, and those elected representatives then bear the responsibility for conveying user interests and for in turn, conveying the important issues back to the public to educate people in the areas where they should have more involvement with ICANN. But I think it's entirely rational and reasonable for most people to ignore ICANN because, frankly, most people have better things to and more important things to spend their time on.
Thank you, Wendy. Alan, I think that returns back to one of your next point questions.
Okay, I thought Holly had said she wanted to follow up on her previous one, though.
No. I was obnoxious enough to have done it anyway.
Okay. I'm following up on, I think it was Robert's, in terms of time commitment. And the question applies to Wendy, but it applies specifically to Bo in this case. Participation in ALAC formal activities has been less than stellar. In fact, I saw a note on the board saying if you weren't leaving the ALAC, you should be kicked out anyway because you haven't met the attendance commitments. You've done a lot of other work, most of it, however, pretty well coinciding with things that relate to your real job at home, or at least supportive of it. Why is this different? Why are you now going to be able to make the larger number of board meetings and presumably most of the ALAC meetings so you can communicate with us? And I'm trying to understand why the priority of this is different than it was in the last year.
I think that to respond to what I think you said about the note about the timing or the amount of time spent, I think the metrics for that are kind of flawed, and a lot of the criticism of the time that I spent on the NA Railo's behalf was based on measurements of attendance at teleconferences, and I think that brings up an issue that's critical to the ALAC, which is I think that the ALAC needs to be more judicious with its time and a bit more, I think you and I have both sat on conference calls where, and this, goes back several months, but I think you and I have both sat on conference calls where they didn't get started until a half an hour into the time, and the technology didn't work, and people couldn't hear each other. And
You have no argument that our conference calls have not been the most productive around.
So I think that's where I think in the measurement of metrics, that's where I took the big hit, which was the teleconference participation. So, if the technology improves and the organization improves, I think that will certainly play itself out in a better way. I think conversely with, my guess would be board communications and board meetings and whatnot probably are quite a bit denser and focused because all of the people who are involved at that level, I would guess, also have full-time jobs, and so they need to maximize the time that they spend in discussion as much as they can. So in terms of priorities changing, I think that this is a very interesting time for ALAC right now, and I think that advocacy for ALAC to the board has to take place at the same time that it becomes easier to determine what the opinion of the ALAC is on a particular issue. I think that we need to look inside the ALAC and try to make determinations as to how we actually figure out what the ALAC's opinion is on a particular issue. When we don't get a lot of participation, it becomes very difficult to then go to the board and say, well, the ALAC thinks this about who is. And I think that's a criticism people can make of the ICANN in general. I think a lot of these policy discussions and whatnot happen in a vacuum without any data to back up people's claims, and so people tend to make claims based on what their business interests are. So I'm not sure if I answered the question particularly, but that's my answer.
Well, the answer, if I can interpret, seems to be you would have been more involved in ALAC functions if the ALAC functions had been more relevant or more effective.
Yes.
That was the first part.
Yes, but I'm specifically referring to teleconferences.
Yes, I understand.
Which is where the bad mark against that. That's the only realm in which there was a negative mark against me if I interpreted the data or read the spreadsheet correctly. So we are referring to teleconferences.
As an offhand comment, you should have tried the ones the year before.
Actually, Bo, can I just share with you what you've experienced is a marked improvement? But that's not to say that we don't have a good way to go.
No, it's a lot better. It's much better now. I mean, this one's fine, right? I haven't even put myself on mute.
Well done. Thank you. Whilst I know Alan has another question, I do have a number of statements and questions from Vanda. Vanda's apologies are
because she has a medical procedure at this time, and she's for some reason unable to dial out while she's in surgery.
Some people have no dedication.
It's incredible dedication, because I have quite an extensive set of things to raise here. So what I am reading into the record now is the words of Vanda, one of our vice chairs. First of all, she says, the board liaison should focus to be a voice of the group, defending our positions, the ALAC, even if they don't agree with them. I believe, whilst that could be posed as a question, you have both spoken to that, but you will have the opportunity at the end of this listing of points to redress that again if you so desire. Her next point is, besides, liaison should become part of the broad community. They must be seen as a friend by other board members in order to have influence on them. Another important point is liaison's personality and their ability to build good connection with the staff, especially those dealing with the board directly, to enhance positive view of the ALAC inside ICANN as an example of cooperation with the corporation. Now, that's something I'd like to pose as a specific question to you both, remembering that, of course, these words come from somebody who was in the GAC, then a board member, and is now our NOMCOM appointee from Latin America and the Caribbean into the ALAC. I believe there is a great deal of wisdom to listen in what she has said here, and I'd like to break now, and there's a couple of points to follow, to give you both the opportunity to respond certainly to that second point, how you see yourself being seen by the board and indeed the staff, and how you see the role as one that does need to sell itself as a marketing exercise for ALAC. Now, that's my paraphrasing, but I think it answers her question. To this end, I'd like to go to Beau first.
Well, I think that... I guess to respond in slightly reverse order, because the phrase marketing ALAC stuck in my mind. I think that's a very, that's the close to the critical function that underlies sort of every communication that the liaison would have with the board, right? I mean, you have to believe that the ALAC, you have to believe in the ALAC and the future of it existing and the importance of its role. And, you know, to do that, obviously, as we've discussed, the ALAC is at a critical point and needs, we all know some of the things that it needs to endure to change and to improve. I think that to go back to or to address the initial point that I've given a couple of presentations at ICANN meetings to the group as a whole, starting in San Juan, I think that in those circumstances, I've made some initial good connections with the board. I don't pretend to say that the board, that I already know people on the board. I only know a handful. But in terms of interaction with staff, I think that it's important to be courteous and respectful of people's time and respectful of people's expertise. And I think I would hope that the staff whom I've worked with over the last year would say that I've been professional in my dealings with them, and that I sort of strive to my goal is sort of to be that people enjoy working with me whenever possible, given the fact that sometimes in my line of work I have to take positions that are unpopular or perhaps address directly people's pocketbook or bottom line. So I think that certainly a measure of decorum and diplomacy would be very, very important in the ALAC liaison role. Vanda has shared with me a couple of times her experiences and how she sees liaison needing to act, and I'm in full agreement with what she has said on those occasions, and certainly her experience speaks for itself. So,
thank you, Beth. Wendy?
I guess I see my constituency a bit differently. I don't see the liaison as cheerleader for ALAC, the structure. I see it as liaison from at large, and while ALAC is currently the structure, we have to channel at-large voices into ICANN. I think it's important to be candid about the limitations of that structure, and I think the board appreciates candor. Many of them are quite skeptical of ALAC. Some of them are skeptical of at-large participation even being useful to ICANN, still after all this time. And I think it's important to be honest about the limitations of structure, the limitations of participation, and the possibilities to convey things as they are, and to help them to become closer to what we would wish them to be, but not to put it all into marketing speak. Because the board members and staff are too smart and would see through that in any event if one were to try. I do think that I've developed good relations with, personal relations with staff and board members on the level of being able to engage them in conversation, to email them or call them up to discuss points outside of the formal board meeting or full board mailing list, and I think those have been helpful in advancing several of the at-large interests. It was certainly something that we did a lot of at the time of working to get the at-large summit supported and continue to do for other at-large interests.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Wendy. Before I move to the other points, and this is specifically, I guess, related back to something you just said, Wendy, and this is from me, not from Vanda, and that's something I'd written on my little piece of paper if it hadn't been picked up by anybody else, and that was your consistent use of your role as at-large liaison as opposed to the ALAC liaison per se. I think that's something I've noted has been quite consistent in your last year's work. Your approach is very much that your role is representative of at large, and I'm glad to hear you verbalise it in that last response, because of course you are the ALAC representative as board liaison.
I am the person that ALAC has sent in as the at-large liaison to the board. That's how the position is described.
Yes, I'm absolutely aware of the rules and procedure and of the nomenclature in the position. Thank you, Wendy. Going back to Vanda now, another point she wishes to raise is related to what she terms as secrecy. And that is that the liaisons need to understand that they will have also a commitment with the board. Some issues discussed by the board are not to be discussed with the community, and she'd like to know your response as to whether you'd have difficulty dealing with this. She says some people have difficulty dealing with this, and I can interpret from that she would like that question posed. There's another question following up from her, or another point that I'd be happy to take your responses to that last one. So, Wendy, the secrecy and confidentiality issues?
There are places where I push the board to be less secretive because I do not think that secrecy is warranted. There are times, but I fully respect the confidentiality obligations that liaisons as well as board members sign on to, and at times that's meant that I haven't been able to bring discussions to ALAC and at large as fully as I might like, and where that's the case, I try to encourage the board and those making the decisions to limit the secrecy to what is critical to remain secret and to open up. I think the board has improved in its openness and transparency, and so many times I am merely posting links to minutes because the minutes serve as the official and public record of what the board has said, and because the board has made a real commitment to get those published fairly completely and quickly after the meetings.
Thank you. Bo?
Yes. Well, I've been a journalist for 20 years, so the whole secrecy issue is in a sense a difficult one, but without learning how to establish parameters and knowing when to be discreet and knowing when you need to keep secrets, you don't wind up being very successful in journalism. So I am very aware of the commitment and would certainly respect any sort of quote-unquote secrecy or privacy notions that the board wanted to invoke. I would actually strongly agree with what Wendy just said. I mean, I think that there are a limited number of things that ICANN should be secret about at this point. So I would certainly encourage them to not keep too many things secret and be as open as possible and transparent as possible at all times. But I certainly would, I certainly understand the ramifications of confidentiality and, would not breach them.
Thank you. I have Alan in the line, but there is a final point from Vanda, so I'm...
Go with it.
I'm going to go with that. Thank you, Alan. This is very specifically from... she's voicing something that as an executive committee, the vice chairs, myself, and how I have discussed that at our meetings recently, and that is that from the ALAC side, we would like to count on the liaison's availability to be an effective member of the executive committee in the next year, so that previous input from what goes on inside the board is able to be brought in a timely manner to the ALAC work as it's being planned, and of course that a clear, and this is me now speaking, she finishes in a timely manner, I now start, with that a clear knowledge and understanding of what the ALAC views are and what ALAC statements are going in is part of the raison d'etre for a liaison's existence. To that end, I guess it comes back to some availability, but also to say to you that whilst the ALAC meets on the second Tuesday of every month, the ALAC executives meet on the fourth Wednesday of every month under normal circumstances. It is a much shorter meeting. It is in one English channel, and it is a tightly timed one. So we would be very keen to hear whether either or both of you would be able to make a commitment, and from my perspective, more than a commitment, see it as part of your liaison performance criteria to make a significant proportion of those meetings part of your monthly agenda item. And I'll go to Beau first.
I certainly don't see that being a problem if selected. Obviously, there are going to be specific performance criteria that I would adhere to. But hopefully, it would be obviously it would be more of a thing that one would want to be part of, as opposed to having to do it as part of a criteria. So I don't see any problem. I think that would be fine.
Okay, thank you, Wendy.
Yes, I think it would be fine. I would certainly request some assistance in putting together a clear calendar of when those things are and helping to make sure that they're on the right agendas, but be happy to participate in productive discussions.
Okay. Sorry, Nick, are you still on the call? Nick?
Yes, sorry.
I'm off mute, Nick.
I am off mute.
I just wondered, it has been now for, what, 5 or 6 months? It is in the continuing calendar now that we are meeting as an executive on the fourth Wednesday of every month. Is that correct?
Yes, it is, and has been, as you say, for some time anyway.
Okay, no, that's all, as long as it is established, because that should be part of the public record. I was just concerned that Wendy wasn't aware of it. Okay, Alan, back to you. You've got another one.
I'd love to see a public calendar on which those things are noted.
The front page of atlarge.icann.org has had the calendar for some time, and the wiki sites have had the calendar for even longer.
Thank you, Nick. Alan, your question?
Yeah, just with respect to that, I've seen it on the calendar, but it's not obvious that who's invited other than the XCOM itself. So,
the XCOM. The question is, can we bring the liaisons into it? The answer was yes.
Yes, and we're talking about future, though, not. You were just asking Nick how long has it been there. I just want to clarify what the issue is here. That's not my question.
Is it possible for them to see it as part of their standing requirements? I got the answer yes from both of them.
Yes, from both. Okay.
I also should point out we have made invitations in the past when we've had matters we wish to discuss. So.
Yeah, okay. And I have been so invited. One of the issues that I've discussed a number of times, and I'd like to present to both candidates, obviously, in their own particular vested interest, they have different answers, but I'd like to know the general ones, and that's issues of continuity. One of the issues the ALAC report made is that we should do 2-year terms instead of 1-year terms for a variety of things, including chair and, I think, liaison also. Other groups tend to send as their representative, whether it's a voting member or a liaison, much longer-term people, that is, people who have a much longer time to develop continuity and develop relationships with both staff and board members and perhaps get more effective because of it. On the other hand, there's an argument for fresh blood and new ideas, and one can go on about all the benefits of someone new. I'd like to hear perhaps a balanced view or whatever you'd like to say from both of you on the how much, to what extent should we think about continuity?
I'm going to go to Beau first because he's not the incumbent, and I would suspect Wendy has a vested interest in saying continuity was a good thing. Go ahead.
And he has a vested interest in saying it's not right now.
Well, I'll put vested interest aside. I think for some positions, the continuity is pretty critical. I mean, the learning curve, having been involved with ALAC for only a year, a little over a year, I mean, the learning curve is enormous. So in certain circumstances and for certain positions, I think continuity is a very good thing. Most notably for chair, I have no experience being the ALAC liaison, so I can imagine what Wendy's perspective would be, and if she believes that it takes a good running start or 2 years is what's needed to thrive in the job, I can certainly understand that. So in a sense, on that question, I'd have to defer to her.
And with that segue, Wendy.
And, of course, I was in the opposite position a year ago saying that for each time the question comes around, it's a question of balance and priorities. I think there are clear advantages at large in using the experience of someone who has been there and established relationships and learned the basics in a first year. But if ALAC chooses to go in a different direction, then that would be their choice. I just note that the other terms on the board, the NOMCOM appointments and voted in appointments are for 3 years, and most groups that appoint liaisons appoint them for longer than a year. Many have been there for several years at a stretch, and I think that helps in creating the climate that while liaisons are not voting, they are accepted as full participants in the discussion up until the point that it comes to a vote. And people who have been part of the group have just natural advantage in participating in that discussion as it goes forward.
Yes, indeed. I think if you have built a trust relationship, that's something that would come up under my...
I resent the negative implications in that statement.
Fine. If a liaison has built a trust relationship with the board, then I would think it comes very much under my question on marketing of the ALAC, that there would be a distinct advantage of that. Does that suit you? Fine. Now, I'd like to know if there are any questions from the Spanish channel, because we're towards, I think, about 5 or 10 minutes over our timing now. If there are no questions from the Spanish channel, are there any follow-up questions from anyone on the English teleconference, and particularly from...
Robert,
left.
Robert, well, definitely not Robert. Okay. Holly or Alan, if you have any final points you'd like to raise?
No, fine.
Not me.
Are we...
Go ahead, Holly.
Are we now going to discuss without the two candidates there?
Really, it's a matter, because the call was scheduled for an hour, ALSs should feed into their RALOs, and their RALOs have two representatives who vote. I believe that's the best way to do it.
What is the planned timing of this vote?
We need to put out the call for the vote in, I think, the next 7 to 10 days, Nick?
At any point, officially, the Secretary of the Board would like the board liaison to be known to him 1 month before the beginning of the ICANN meeting. So that would be the 2nd of October.
That's right.
But, if it takes another week or something, I'm told by him it's really not a problem.
And but we do have a pressing time course on this, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
People also have to plan the time away and all that. So.
That's right, yeah. So this meeting and this opportunity for people to ask questions, and then because some RALOs direct their representatives to vote, other RALOs, the ALSs advise their representatives to vote, and this is an opportunity for people who may not have been quite so close, plus those of us who have been close to the ALAC, to ask questions and to get the measure of the potential candidates. To that end, I think, Nick, if you'd like to... perhaps give me a call on Tuesday, and we'll tidy up the specific timeline for this vote. I think we need to move on this fairly quickly. Holly, I believe that you should feed into the AP RALO space on this.
Uh-huh. Oh,
and
yes.
Influence your liaisons that way. And
okay.
The other point is, I think, compared to last year... probably because of the number of people and the fact that we had a single call rather than several calls in several time zones, I found this a very productive, very informative, and most welcome environment to work with. I'd like to thank Wendy and Bo most sincerely for the time they've taken to answer our questions, and they have not necessarily been pleasant or easy ones. But then it's not necessarily a pleasant or easy job we're asking you to do. So thank you very, very much. And I look forward to having one of you working with us as part of the ALAC Expo in the future. Bye for now.
Thanks very much.
Thank you all.
Bye.
Thanks. Cheryl.
Left.
Bove in there.
Left.
Wendy.
Left.
Holly Reich.
Left.
Nick.
Left.
Alan.
Left. Left. Left.
Followed by
Bing, French translator, French interpreter on English.
Left.
Adigo operator.
Left.